Welcome to Witness Radio Broadcast Program.
It felt the sun was setting on the world and its plans. We didn't have to worry, we were always in good hands. From the plate to the table, there's a work that never ends. In the heart of the country, yeah, we all have some friends. Thank God for the farmers, nobody's working harder. There's no denying we rely on them to survive. Yeah, let's hear it about the farmers.
Welcome to Witness Radio Broadcast Program.
This is one of the platforms that we are creating to share knowledge with each other amongst the different circles. Your presence here is really appreciated today. What brings us together today is we are all bound by seed, but most importantly, seed that is coming from the farmer managed seed system. So our series will be more focused on the farmer managed seed system. Just to take us briefly through the agenda for that day, we shall have welcome remarks, some introductions. Then we shall go to a scene setting. This will be done by one of our speakers who will be giving the opening remarks. And then we shall have keynote presentations from a small scale farmer. And then we shall dive into the panel discussion. We shall go out into the breakout rooms to discuss the questions that will be set out to us. And then we shall have our closing remarks.
Welcome to Witness Radio Broadcast Program.
Farmers, do you want to boost your crop production with organic seeds? Tune in to Witness Radio and listen to a rebroadcast of at ISAF webinar exploring the benefits of the farmer-managed seed systems and how they can improve your farming success.
Welcome to Witness Radio Broadcast Program.
In Uganda, the shortage of desired and high-quality plant genetic resources remains a barrier to small-scale agriculture and threatens food and nutritional security. Yet, the small-scale farmers are known for being the highest contributors of the world's food. Seeds are vital for ensuring food and nutritional security and play a crucial role in agriculture, and majority of Ugandans are small-scale farmers who rely on farm-saved seeds obtained through farmer-managed seed systems. On 6th of June 2024, Eastern and Southern Africa Small-Scale Farmers Forum, ISAF Uganda, organized a webinar to explore the impacts of participatory plant breeding using the farmer field schools on upholding the farmer-managed seed system in communities. The webinar was opened by the National Vice Chairperson for ISAF Uganda Chapter, Ms. Margaret Masudio Iberu. She reiterated that seeds have transformed into commercial proprietary resources due to technological advancements, market influences, and evolving legal systems, forcing small-scale farmers to shift from active producers to passive consumers of industrial goods, including seeds, with modern agricultural practices.
We are here purposely to talk and see how farmer managed system has really given us hope in agriculture. Looking at the seed is a very vital to ensuring food and nutrition security. It plays a crucial role in agriculture, because if you're practicing agriculture, you can't do it without seed. So in Uganda, shortage of high quality and desired plant genetic resources remains a barrier to small-scale farmers, and it threatens food and nutrition security, especially amid the challenging environmental conditions in every region in Uganda. Majority of small-scale farmers in Uganda rely on farmer-saved seeds, which are obtained through farmer-managed seed system, and this is inadequately supported by the legal framework and the research and the scientific research. Locally, the locally sourced seeds are so much affected by issues like varietal impurity, yield instability, and poor seed health. Yet, it's estimated that 90% of small-scale farmers depend on this seed. Technically, advancement in technology, market influence, and evolving legal systems have transformed seed into commercial resources. People look at it as business. It has never solved issues of health and nutrition and food security. And more so, consequently, small-scale farmers shifted from active producer to passive consumer of industrial products, which includes it, even the agricultural practices, among others, meaning that the new evolvement has changed our food system, our good manageable practices in our communities. So what ESAF did to solve this? ESAF, together with the Oxfam and Pelham, have implemented the Sowing Diversity Equal to Harvesting Security. This program aims to enhance farmers' access to and utilization of crop diversity. It also aimed at strengthening seed system and also promote healthy nutrition within the communities. And we did this using the farmer field school approach, participatory plant breeding with guidance from scientists like the breeders, scientists from NARO, and also the extension workers within our communities gave us a lot of support. And all this, the farmers were able to be trained on the plant breeding. They learned how to select the best crops, meaning that they learned the selection techniques, and they went through the process of evaluation, and they're able to select the new varieties of their choice. And that among the crops they have worked on includes crops like maize, granards, soya beans, rice, millet, to mention but a few. So this has been successfully done, and it has helped the farmers a lot, and they are looking into how they can enter into seed market through seed multiplication and share it among themselves and solve the problem, the challenges they are facing around seed. This is the time we need to collaborate. We need to partner with each other so that we upscale this initiative to other communities and we solve the seed challenges together.
Diving into the webinar program, Akilo Helen, a small-scale farmer in Amuria District and a master trainer for farmer field schools on participatory plant breeding, she takes us through how farmer field schools have influenced community access and utilization of good quality seeds. According to Helen, farmer field schools have benefited them a lot.
It was through the farmer field school methodology. And the farmer field school approach is the community-based learning approach that emphasizes farmer-to-farmer learning through experience sharing. This is when you are together with the farmers in the field, share together the ideas from one another, then have a solution to the idea. A farmer identifies identify community challenges and develop practical solutions to address them. This is through sharing. Farmers are allowed to share whatever challenge they have in the community. And after that, we are to develop a solution to address that challenge. Encourage learning by being hands involved in a practical work. Here as farmers, always encourage learning by doing through demonstration work. We go through the demo gardens, then have the plant our seeds, then have to demonstrate practically with the farmers themselves, involving youth, women, and men also in the system. So they do practically, recording, monitoring, observing how the plant is. Take horizontal approach and all members and involved in the decision making. Here, even women, youth are all have access on decision making. We don't discriminate anybody. A farmer field school were established in Amuria, Apache, and Adjumani district, and this focus on participatory plant breeding and local food plants for nutrition. That is where all our farm field schools have skills on participatory plant breeding. That's where they started. Since I said farmers identify challenges in the community, these are some of the challenges then identified in the community. Limited access to good quality seeds. We had a limited access to get quality seeds before a farmer field school. In our community, you move around but don't get a good quality seeds. Limited access to information. However much you move, you never get somebody talking about good quality seeds, talking about a farmer field school. We had no one to give us the right information. Food and nutrition insecurity. Due to limited access to good quality seeds, we had food insecurity. Because however much you plant, you won't harvest it as you like. Gender barriers. In our community, people had local beliefs. They say, like women don't handle an ox plow, like women don't work, don't do what men do. But when a farmer field school came, women now can set the oxen ready to the field. Women now can do what men can do. We can also plant, we can also monitor, we can also weed. Everything we do equally. High prices for commercial seeds. Really, we had a problem in acquiring commercial seeds. Like an example, if you want DK, you are given a kilo at 40,000, and our NDDS seeds, a kilo you can get even at 20. So accessing the price for the commercial seeds were really very high. Fake and counterfeit seeds in the market. When you go to the market in the communities there, move around, you find like four varieties in one bag. Mixed varieties, black, white, so there were fake seeds in the market. Prevalence of pests and diseases. Simply, we had pests and diseases. We didn't know that the pest even can begin from the garden up to home where you store it. So you can even buy the seeds which the pests have already attacked. The disappearance of some local crops. These crops really disappeared due to lack of knowledge. We really missed these crops because of the lack of their. They lost their trades in the community. When the new varieties come in, farmers tend to ignore the crops they were using. Interventions. To address the above challenges, the following interventions were conducted in Amuria, Apache, Soroti, Nebi, and Moro, and Adjumani. district farmer field schools and participatory plant breeding, local food plants for nutrition, which engage in breeding methods like participatory variety selection, that is PVS, and participatory variety enhancement, that is PVE, as well as the restoration of local food plants by addressing the existing bottlenecks. In participatory plant breeding, farmers themselves choose the crop they want to work on. By selecting the crop, community seed banks were established, which have played a big role in increasing access to good quality seeds by the communities. In a community seed bank, always do the testing of the seeds, multiplying of the seeds, the maintenance of the seeds, and providing the seed to the community members. To further upscale these efforts, Farmer Field School Networks have established, and this aim to bring together different farmer field schools actors in the country, support the installation of the farmer field school approach at the local and national level, and build linkages between the farmer field school actors. This simply means that which have different farmer field school within the community, and those actors who are nationally, farmers choose either PVS or PVE. That is intervention of farmer field school and participatory plant breeding. Plant variety selection, PVS, an approach which provides a wide choice of varieties to farmers to evaluate in their own environment. Use variety selection. We select different crops and have evaluate each crop to evaluate each variety. Achievements that make us proud as a farmer field school members. Increased biodiversity that led to improved food and nutrition. Security in the communities. We now have many varieties due to introduction of a particular plant.
The webinar also featured a panel discussion with three panelists, including Anna Sophia Asingo, working as the Meal and Advocacy Officer at Community Integrated Development Initiatives, Charles Opil, Oxfam's Resilient Livelihoods Program Manager, and Olport Marx, an Agriculture Extension Consultant focused on agriculture extension for rural development and management. Firstly, Anna Sophia highlighted some of the existing opportunities for farmer field schools on participatory plant breeding and the challenges that are affecting their progress.
So some of the opportunities that we have realized as we implement this project is that collaborative research programs be of great value, whereby farmers are able to interact and work together with the researchers, work together with the National Agricultural Research Institute in developing different varieties, improving local varieties based on the local context that they have, aware that there has been a lot of changes in climate change. And also we realize that an opportunity that is existing in a country like Uganda is the existence of these institutions like universities. So we have several universities that are offering courses on agriculture, and farmer field school would be the best place for demonstrating this theoretical knowledge that is gained from the universities, and then integrating the science knowledge that they have with the local knowledge that the farmers have in their farmer field schools. We also realize that there are some non-governmental organizations which I would take as an opportunity for participatory plant breeding farmer field schools to explore both international development agencies like FAO, we have IFAD, we also have local NGOs that are working with the farmers. So with the existence of these farmer field schools, the NGOs would be able to ride on them to give chance to farmers to share the local knowledge they have through the FFS approach, and also be able to educate others to adopt on how to produce preferred seed varieties, and also be able to scale up their work. The other opportunity is the community-based initiatives that are in existence. We realized throughout the project implementation that there are quite many farmer groups that are in place. Much as we implemented the project through the farmer field school approach, but this would be rolled into the different farmer groups, cooperatives and associations that are in existence to be able to adopt the participatory plant breeding approach, where farmers work together with the researchers to develop their own varieties, to select and based on the problems that they are facing, so that they can come up with these varieties that address their needs and also fit into the challenges that are in existence. When you get down, we also have community seed banks, and these community seed banks are a great opportunity for the government and the communities to be able to address the challenge of fake seed, the challenge of accessing quality seed, the challenges they are facing in getting timely seeds and also affordable seeds. So these community seed banks that have been established with the support of the SDHS project in the different regions where the project has been implemented are really a great chance that if government rides on it and strengthens these community seed banks, facilitates them and supports them with the requirements that are needed and promote them, then the farmers will be able to have where to store their seed, where to share their experiences, where to easily access their seed, and also to know of those indigenous varieties that have been extinct from the communities, but be able to restore them and bring them to this seed bank. At the same time, the community seed banks can be able to strengthen the PPB FFS, and people will be united and working as one committed arm. We also have exhibitions still under community-based initiatives. Through this project, we have been able to organize different exhibitions for seed and food, and this is an opportunity for other people who have never heard about PPB FFS to learn what it does, how farmers are able to use their knowledge to integrate with the science knowledge to be able to produce their own preferred seed. They can be able to learn about the different indigenous varieties. They're also able to know about the different nutritious food, and all this is an opportunity. So if a country like Uganda and others can take chance to ensure that they promote annual exhibitions for this seed and food, then the PPB activities or initiatives can be promoted. The other opportunity is the institutionalization of PPB FFS initiatives. Throughout the implementation, we realized that there is need to have a sustainability strategy and also a way of bringing farmers together to have a common voice and a platform to be able to share what they do as PPB farmer field schools. And so the program was able to guide the farmers to develop different district level networks, and this helps to institutionalize the farmer field school initiative. So I think this is an opportunity that needs further intervention to strengthen, to make sure that it is legalized and it operates from the district to the national level. And through this, the farmers will be able to even influence policy through their institutions. They will be able to scale out what they are doing through their institutions and also to widen their network. We also have education institutions. These are like universities, agricultural colleges. For example, in Uganda, we have Bustema University, we have Arapai, we have so many. So these agricultural colleges and universities could take this as an opportunity whereby they can work in collaboration, in partnership with the PPB farmer field schools to be able to do their outreach services, conduct some practical trainings, demonstrations, and in a way be able to integrate the science with the local knowledge and experiences that farmers have in developing different varieties, in even understanding the different traits of different crops. And through also their sharing, they would be able to understand how farmers are able to distinguish between the improved varieties, the hybrid varieties, and the indigenous varieties, and also give a comparison. And that would be able to help the PPB FFS and the education institutions to build a stronger bond. We have public-private partnerships, and this involves the city companies, large agribusiness firms that could be used, could work together with the farmer field schools to produce seeds that are acceptable to the community and also addressing the farmer seed. Then we have policy and advocacy as one of the issues that farmer field schools can also take on to help government implement, especially on the issue of registration of our farmer seed.
Next, Charles Opio discussed how best partner organizations can help to scale up the impact that the farmer field school methodologies created in communities.
Particularly, we are trying to look at the impact that the participatory plant breeding has really created on the farmer-managed seed system. We may all be aware how farmers really manage their, let's say, seed affairs, how they develop it right from the garden, how they select, keep it, and then reuse it for the subsequent season, but also how they share it among themselves. And Farmer Field School, as you know, is an important approach that has been in existence in this country for quite a long time. Yeah, although it originated somewhere in Asia, I think in 1989, somewhere there in some province in Indonesia there. So the good thing is that when it was created or when it evolved, it was majorly responsible or looking at how it can use, how it can help to solve the problem of integrated pest, how it can solve the problem of pest using the IPPM. So the Farmer Free School has really evolved over time and can now be used to solve any problem, whether it is seed, whether it is soil, whether it is climate. You can still use the same principles to solve a problem as a farmer. And that's why, together with the partners like SAF, Pelham and CD, as well as others that I may not all mention here, we have used this particular approach to ensure that we support farmers in their struggle to secure their seed rights, where they are part of the decision making, where they are part of the development of these particular seeds. So Farmer Field School really has been very, very essential. And it has achieved a number of gains, like you have heard from the previous presenters. Now, some of the gains are like the knowledge that the farmers have gained, the setting up of some of the important infrastructures like the community seed banks. They're already existing, they're in the communities, they're near the farmers, and they're availing at least farmers with a number of benefits, such as having seeds on time, and not just seed, but seeds of good quality. And knowledge is also being exchanged. So the role that now we can play as partners is that we need to get closer. We need to speak more that, look here, we have this kind of gains that we have collected or we have produced together, because people believe, even in Farmer Free School, by seeing or by being part of it. For me, my proposal or what I can think that we can do to scale up this, the partners should share a little bit more their experiences in working with farmers using this particular approach and how it has really contributed to ensuring that there is food, there is income security or there is seed security, because we believe that, as you have heard, they say some of the farmers really are testifying that they now have the seeds. They even said they have the knowledge. And Helen speaking is a true testament that really we can build the capacity of farmers to again also take lead. She was making a very good presentation, and many of Helen's are there in the community. So we need to share a little bit more with the government, because it's a scalable approach. It's an approach that can be replicated. And another way is that the partners can scale up this is to engage in joint co-creations, like mainstreaming or integrating this approach in almost all their livelihoods or agricultural projects. Let Farmer Field School be one of the ways of work or one of the ways you deliver your programs in your different institutions. So the institutionalization that we talk about should start with individual organizations, so that when we are advocating or asking the local government or the public institutions to also institutionalize this or adopt it, we are talking from experience, because we are having it, we are doing it together. So as much as possible, partners should try to integrate the farmer field school approach as one of the methodologies or ways of their livelihood programming. And then the last point is that we need to probably strengthen the existing institutions or the umbrella organizations that bring together the trainers, these resources. The farmers have become really knowledgeable. So we need to build on that, put them together, see how we can strengthen them, how we can formalize maybe their kind of organizing so that they become more organized, they become more accessible, and they continue learning and sharing among themselves.
The last panelist, Max, shared with participants how best they can leverage on networks to enhance learning and knowledge sharing across the countries.
Just like Charles mentioned, the field school started in Indonesia many years ago in 1989. But as you can realize, it has continued to be the novel approach globally. So it is very rare to find such an approach. And that always gives me to dive into the evolution. The field school or the farmer field school evolution can easily be attested now by SAF, by Oxfam, by Pelham, because that's not how we started. We were focused on IPM, that is integrated pest management. But you can now see that the context is changing, but also we are trying to adapt and want to appreciate the partners for taking that very bold step in terms of making sure that we can contextualize the field schools to different contexts. But most importantly, as a family that come from, as we all come from the field school, is while there is this diversity, there is a lot of adaptation, we remain in the core principles. As you know, when you're a clan, when you're a party, when you're even a political party, you can have some differences there that you come from different places, but you remain in the core principles. If you are from Uganda, you are maybe in NRM, you need to show the yellow. Or if you're in BP, you need to show the green. That is how we have really continued to give the value to the field schools, because we want to maintain the core principles. Having said so, I have visited what you are doing in the field, and I'm always very impressed, because the people who are in the field who are driving these are farmers. And that is one of the most important core principles of the field school, that the agenda is driven by the farmers, it is farmer-centered, and we empower farmers to drive the process and be the champions. And so the participatory plant breeding is one of the such very useful areas. Also, to answer one of the questions that we've been having for long in some evaluations, that we are focusing on production as a fraternity in the field schools. But then now, when you talk about plant breeding, the seed banks, access to markets, I think that is a plus in a way that we do business in the field school. So we'd like to encourage this and also to scale this to different regions, different continents, so that we can see added value in the field school. Going to the networks, this started long ago. We used to have what we call the field school networks, where people could come together. But the idea still was, after the graduation, how do you continue the cohesion? To continue this, we needed the networks. And these networks did not only keep people in cohesion together, but also the access to the markets, and also have the collective voice. Normally, when you have a joint effort together, you can be able to talk to government, and you can be able to influence what the government is doing. So the networks are critical in terms of providing a voice to on the farmer field schools, on the business field schools, on market field schools, participatory, whatever type of field schools we are talking about, climate, junior, and others. So that is very important. So we want to encourage that, as also in the participatory breeding plant schools, will be key in putting this voice so that we can be able to talk to government. The other part that I want to mention, as Ugandan, is that field schools are critical because now we also talk about the parish development model. So how do we leverage on the parish development model? This is critical. I think that is a conversation Charles, Andrew, Naomi, all of us should now have with the people in the field, that we should take advantage and have a collective voice and say, yes, field schools is the best approach that we can use in the implementation of the PDM. And so we currently have a number of networks going on, but I want to talk authentically for the African Center for Field Schools and Innovation. The African Center for Field Schools and Innovation is going beyond the networking. Our purpose now is to set the tele centers in most of the countries and also in the districts where we can learn, we can demonstrate, and we can do capacity building. We're already working in Uganda with the National Pharmacy Leadership Center to produce some of the manuals that we can use. And we also are available to support all other stakeholders because we can provide technical advice, technical input into what you are doing. We don't want to invent any wheel, but work together. So I want to stop here and again to appreciate the team, SRF, Pelham, Oxfam, and the rest of the teams that have been able to bring us together. This is where we can talk and see faces, but also get one or two ideas that we can use again to help our poor smallholder farmers, our communities, to get into a desired, honorable life. And it's our role to do that. So we are available as the African Center for Field Schools and Innovation to journey together in this area.
On how to strengthen the farmer-managed seed systems in Uganda and beyond, participants, including Masudia Margaret, mentioned that
scaling up the farmer field school to other communities would be a very good thing, because farmer field schools are located in a very few communities, yet the bigger population is left out. And what we are doing in the farmer field school, it is really good, and it is a very good approach which solves the issue of the seed, which is affecting most of the community members. And the farmers learn a lot around the seed using through the farmer field school approach. So if this approach can be scaled to other community, it will be the best. And also bringing in the stakeholders at the local level, especially the district level. Most of them have either knowledge or little knowledge or no knowledge about the approach. Therefore, we should engage them more and more into the approach so that they get to know, especially the agriculture department.
Charles Opil ended the wonderful and informative webinar by thanking everyone for the active participation.
Thank you so much, Naomi, and to all the participants. It's really been a pleasure to have you give us your audience. Thank you, and have a lovely evening.
Thank you for listening to Witness Radio broadcast program.
Jala Studio, we go. Daniel Niplo. Kaites, we go. Tutwale Uganda mumaso, Bogata nogata, Bogata nogata. Toya ulagata, toya ulagata. Tuina kulima, tuina kulima no kulunda. Tuina kulima no kulunda. Tutwale Uganda mumaso, Bogata nogata, Bogata nogata. Na chemutamani bajaja fe basomera kumwani neze mwanyi zasomesa botamani bwawa ina ko wasiga tolinda mukwana siga siga zambula yo chalima okulima kuyambye banji omulimi nweze kumvinyikila kabaseke biva muntu ye abo obubina saba tufube tulime bye tulima baguzi bagule abo luganda ne mikwano bwe tulima.